church.
That's right. That's right. For our bus driver.
Okay, recording's on.
All right.
Thank you.
See, we need Travis yet. Showing is unmuted, so I think we're in good shape. Travis, you're with us?
I'm here.
All right, very good. I think we are ready to get going. Let me, I need to change our view here. All right, much better. Now I can see everybody. Cool. First meeting of Orrville City Council to order, and to open our evening tonight is Pastor Newton Brenneman from New Hope Christian Center.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father God, you've given us so many promises and so many of those recorded in your word, and Father, tonight I just want to pray for the city of Orrville, the people of Orrville, and especially for the leaders of Orrville, with Psalm 91 as the base. And Father, Lord, the people of Orrville live in the shelter of the Most High. We rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And this we declare about you, Lord. You alone are our refuge. You are our place of safety. You are our God, and we trust you. You will rescue us from every trap and protect us from deadly disease. You will cover us with your feathers. You will shelter us with your wings. Your faithful promises are our armor and protection. We not need be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. We need not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at our side, though 10,000 are dying around us, these evils will not touch us in Orrville, Father. We thank you for this. Lord, we make you our refuge. We make you, we recognize you as the Most High, and you are our shelter. No evil will conquer us. Father, you order your angels to protect us wherever we go. They will hold us up with their hands, and Lord, we will not hurt our foot on a stone. You say, God, you will rescue those who love you. You protect those who trust in your name. Father, we declare we trust in you. And as we call on you, you will answer. Lord, as you will be with us when there's trouble, you will rescue us and honor us. Lord, we thank you for long life. We thank you for your salvation. Lord, we thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brenneman. Always a pleasure to have you here with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, and then we will move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. So let me switch our focus here. Very good. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with indivisible, with liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. Give me just a second here. All right, very good. Clerk, will call the roll for us, please.
Yes, sir. Handwerk. Handwerk.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Carosa.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Very good. Thank you. You've had a chance to review the minutes of our last meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes as documented.
Thank you.
And I'd like to second that motion.
Thank you. Mr. Carosa moves and Mr. Larson seconds.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Carosa.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comment scheduled for this evening, and so we'll move on to our standing committee reports. And we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee and Mr. Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have no report tonight. However, I would like to propose a meeting on Thursday at 7, which would actually be a Zoom meeting, as we are on now, to discuss the opening of the pool and, more importantly, the challenges that will come with that due to the COVID-19 requirements. Mr. Wheeler could add to that if there's any other questions at this point.
Mr. Handwerk?
Yes.
Is that for this Thursday, June 4th?
If we can make that work, if that's something we can do with that being public.
I don't know if you have you had a chance to speak about that with the administration members that need to be present, Mr. Handwerk?
I'm not. That's why I was putting it out there tonight to kind of see if that would sit. If not, I think Monday could be another option.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Wheeler, you're primarily in charge of that area. Is next Monday a better time, or is Thursday okay, or do we have any urgency to meet before Monday?
I actually did request the meeting Thursday or Monday work. I'm hoping by next week we'll be really farther along, and so I was trying to kind of make sure everyone was on the same page as quickly as possible. So ideally Thursday, but if that doesn't work for a majority of folks, then Monday will be fine, and obviously we'll know much more by then as well. So,
well, yes, Mr. Larson.
Just thinking out loud here. By Monday, we will have in hand all the applicants for the council vacancy. And that may be an opportunity to combine efforts with the Parks and Rec and Ordinance and Personnel for a committee meeting that would look at both things.
Yeah, so it looks like we will be meeting on Monday. And Mr. Wheeler, it's fine if we need to meet on Thursday just because of the urgency of the issue.
Well,
What
I would like to do, Mr. President, what I would like to do is just get the information out to you at the end of this week, kind of what we're thinking. Then, too, maybe you'll have the weekend to review it. Also, obviously, I'm still available for kind of questions, if there are questions in regard to what some of the thinking is. And so Monday would work. It'll get give all council the weekend to kind of look things over. There's a lot to absorb, obviously. It's a really unique opportunity, if you will, for us with the pool this year. So we can make Monday work.
My next question then, Mr. Larson, is time. Would we have time to have both meetings on Monday?
This coming Monday, would we meet after utilities or?
Yes.
fee, sir.
Right.
I can't imagine it taking a great deal of time. I would look upon this as a preliminary look at the applications that we've received. We will not have been to the applicants yet, but just kind of a heads up. I thought it'd be nice to just dovetail on the idea that we're already all present, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, very good. I thought maybe we were interviewing people or something on Monday, yep. So. All right. Very good. Mr. Handwerk, any additional thoughts on Thursday versus Monday?
I think it makes more sense for Monday if that works for everyone else's schedule. Obviously, the only urgency there was if we can open up sooner than later for the citizens, but I think Monday should suffice at this point.
Okay. All right, very good. Anybody else have any thoughts or availability for next Monday okay?
Could have a quick quality board meeting, Paul, so that meeting should be able to happen pretty early on next Monday.
Okay, you heard it here first, a quick utility board meeting. All right, very good. So I would plan folks on 6:45 Monday, and I don't know, I think we're going to have a different Zoom address website or whatever, invitation I should say. For that way we won't be tying up the utility folks on
we can do that. Yep. Yeah, we have multiple Zoom addresses that we can use.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, and so the invitation for the committee meeting will be coming out from myself, and then that way whoever's involved with the utility board, you can sign off of that utility board meeting whenever they are done. And then just click over the link for then the council committee meeting. So that will be the plan.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, you're welcome.
President,
thank you.
Mr. President,
yes.
Which
mm-hmm.
committee meeting will we be planning on doing first so that I can send that out?
Let's do the Parks and Rec committee meeting. Okay. And that way we'll have all of our brain power focused on that. And then we'll have a chance then to discuss the upcoming council vacancy and the applications that have been coming in. Then ordinance and personnel committee meeting then following the Parks and Rec committee.
Thank you.
Very good. Utilities, Mr. Espiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report for tonight.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Morrison, ordinance and personnel.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I'd like to thank CJ for letting me piggyback on his meeting and moving that meeting from Thursday to Monday. It just seems like it would make sense. At that meeting, we'll be looking at the applicants that we've received to replace Councilman Carroza, who will resign effective the end of June. And that'll give us an opportunity to just take a look at those applicants. And I anticipate interviews after that, not that same evening, but we'd like to call these individuals in to talk to them, of course, and select who's best position. Again, this is for a council seat that is opening in Orville Ward 3. If you have interest in this, I urge you to apply. There's application information on the city's Facebook page. There are links there. Gene, could you tell me, I looked at the city's webpage today. Is there a link on the webpage as well or no?
I'm not sure if Karen put one out there or not.
You can also get that information by calling City Hall, I would imagine, as well, right, Gene?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have any interest in this, please reach out to us. Any one of the council members can tell you what the job entails as well. And we'd like to have a good pool of candidates and select the person that can best represent Ward 3 and the rest of the citizens. And every time I talk about this, I'll mention that we will miss you too, you know.
Thank you. We can't help it. Sorry.
And again, our committee will meet Monday evening after utilities report. And that's my full report.
All right, very good. And so Mr. Watson, do you anticipate then doing interviews? I guess that'd be the third, or let's see. I'm looking at June the 21st, 22nd. Or no, that's let's see.
22nd.
22nd, yeah. Would that be your anticipation?
Yeah, I would hope to be able to. Yes, I would hope to be able to.
Okay, very good. And then we would swear in the new council representative on July 6th, it looks like then.
So, yeah,
very good. Okay. All right, so that's a little bit of the timeline coming up for that. We'll move on to our Transportation Committee. Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not much to report. Our city engineer, Dan Lau, did contact me today. He said that they are working on High Street. However, it's not on our dime. They're kind of back just on a couple corrections right the first time. So if you see them out working, you know, they're just pretty much our just warranty work for us. As well as he also updated us last week. I think he was on the phone with Councilman Lorson for some other things, and he talked about, you know, some other work and changes that they're making pretty much from street to street. However, it's all within budget. It's not going to affect. They're not going to need any additional money. They're just on a little bit of shifting around and to try to maximize our dollar as far as street repairs go. Other than that, we have no report. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we'll move on then to our Health and Safety Committee and Mr. Carrozza.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do not have a committee report tonight, but I do have some comments that I'd like to share when we get to new business under Resolutions 19-20 and 20-20.
Yeah, very good. We'll look forward to hearing that. Mm-hmm. All right, our Planning Committee, Mrs. Whitmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report.
All right, thank you. And then finally, our Finance Committee and Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report tonight, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. We have no special committee reports this evening, and so then we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'd just like to mention that as restaurants and businesses begin to open up here the last week, encourage folks to get out and support them as much as possible. They certainly are going to welcome that and need that. I know that the restaurants are one of them I came past tonight looks pretty busy, so that's a good thing for Monday night. Beautiful evening, so that works out well. Also, just to mention, heartfelt sadness for the whole situation this past week in our country. Certainly nothing that any of us want to see, nothing we're anywhere close to proud about, for sure. But I do want to mention that I'm extremely grateful to the citizens of our community, because as I'm watching the news Saturday night and seeing city after city under sheer destruction, we did not have that here. And I know we're not a big city, but that sometimes doesn't make you immune to things. So I appreciate all of our citizens as we work together and as we continue to work together with that sort of thing. And I would say one of the reasons probably that we did not have the problem here is because of the extreme good work that our police force does. And I think Chief Birkbeck will probably have some comments on the whole situation, but you know, I appreciate the work that they do, and I think that's part of the reason that we have nothing happen here Saturday. So that's all for tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions for the mayor? All right. We'll move on then to our Safety Service Director and Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Councilman Mosley mentioned, Central Allied was out today doing some work on High Street. They will begin crack sealing tomorrow. They also plan to start the street markings over the next few weeks as weather allows. And as part of this, they will also be painting the Crown Hill edge line for us as well. Preparation on getting the pool open continues. We've been working closely with the pool managers. We got the best way to operate the pool this year, meet state requirements, and still offer a quality service for our public. We will discuss this more with you next Monday as part of the committee meeting. City Hall has returned to normal operating hours. Visitors are required to socially distance. We urge to wear a face mask if they're not required. And we also urge folks to use our website or call or email or conduct business if possible. Also, I would now like to hand over to Chief Birkbeck for a special report from him tonight.
Thank you, Director Wheeler. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I want to talk about the events that Mayor Hanworth touched on from last week. It's not customary for law enforcement administrators to criticize or speak out about criminal investigation or personnel matters from other agencies. It's not customary, but it is appropriate at times, and I believe this is one of those times that citizens need to hear from their law enforcement leaders where we stand on what we all saw in that video last Monday or throughout the week, whenever you may have seen it. I think by now virtually everybody has seen what was on that video. I know I saw the same thing that you saw. I heard the same things that you heard. I had the same emotions that you were experiencing. And after going through this and learning as much as I could about that situation, I think I've arrived at the same place as virtually every other person has arrived in looking at that situation. It was a horrible crime that was committed by, I dare I say, four police officers. They did not do what we expect police officers to do. Ironically, the people who stood by on the sidewalk did exactly what we ask citizens to do. They didn't interfere. They didn't break the law. They didn't try to attack the police. And it's a shame that this situation ended up the way that it ended up. It's sad for all of us. And I can tell you that police officers across the country, and certainly all of the ones who I have spoken to, feel the same way, that we want to see justice served. That is our path to move forward from this terrible incident, this terrible mark on our history. We've worked so hard to try to improve things, and there have been setbacks along the way. I've done this for nearly 30 years, and at the start of my career, was a terrible incident that had taken place with the Rodney King tragedy, and then here we are today, and it's disheartening to say the least that at the end of my career, near the end of my career, in many ways it feels like we have not gained anything over that nearly 30 years. However, I want to say that the important thing that we need to do, everybody needs to do, is we need to stop hurting each other. What we saw out there was a criminal act. There's no way that could be captured as anything else other than a criminal act. And I hope that they pay a price for that situation. I do also believe, as I said when I started this off, that I will not be speaking out on every single matter. It's not customary for police executives to do that. But again, this touches on all of us. You can't escape this. Even though this happened several hundred miles from here, obviously it's coast to coast. We're all dealing with the fallout, and we're going to deal with this for many years to come. If there is one thing that I can add, because as I said, we saw the same things, we heard the same things, what's coming out of this is a lot of talk about training and training and training. And I'm a big proponent of training. I was a field training officer. I got a college education just as that was becoming something that was new in law enforcement. But I want to mention, I want to at least express my opinion that this had nothing to do with training. But what those the officers did that night had nothing to do with a lack of training. The most senior member there was Derek Chauvin, and he had 19 years on the department. As I mentioned, I had 28 years. I have 28 plus years on this department. I would have a decade on before he worked his first day, and I would have known not to hold somebody on the ground like that when they're telling you
that they can't breathe and they're struggling, and then they go unconscious. One of the most important things, responsibilities we have when we take somebody into custody is for their care. When we handcuff somebody and we're responsible for their well-being, they can't take care of themselves. This was a tragedy. Don't mistake it for anything else other than that. But I wanted to express where I stand on that, and where every officer who I've spoken to stands on this. We feel the same way. Our heart is broken for this. We're sorry that this happened. And we're going to work to do whatever we can do within our power to continue to advance where we were and to improve in the future. And I'm confident with the people that we have here. And for those who are considering this career, don't let this stop you. Don't let these incidents. In fact, you're the type of people that we need to get into this career to carry that torch forward for us and to get us to where we want to be and where we should be today, but we're not yet. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chief. And, you know, the question just keeps going through my mind is, how can this happen? You know, if it's not a matter of training, and I think, you know, I saw where the president of council in Columbus, he got pepper sprayed. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He made the point, hey, we've done studies, we've done commissions, we're done studying this, you know. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on if this is not a training issue.
It's a character issue, period. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't mean that that person was that way when he got into this career, and that may be something that we have to look at moving forward, is that we have to maybe evaluate people every few years. I don't know. I don't have those answers, but I firmly believe that if you're able to, I can't speak to the pepper spray incident, but I can speak to what I saw on this video. If you're able to hold your knee on somebody's neck and hear them plead, and then they lose consciousness and you don't take an action to help them, there's no training. That's a humanity issue. That's a character flaw. Whether he was that way when he started, I can't speak to that. Could he have experienced things throughout his career that led him down this road? I don't know. I certainly think training is appropriate and always will be appropriate, but I'm afraid that the record would probably show that he had no training that said he should have done this, and probably had ample training that says you don't do this, and experience. I mean, even if you had very little training, just in seeing police brutality cases over the years, you would learn from common sense. I think the average citizen watching TV would know, much less a trained police officer.
Well, we don't have any answers tonight for how to solve this problem, because it is a problem of the human heart and of the character.
Well, you know, I think one thing you'd have to remember, too, is that all of us have to remember is, like Chief said, that person may not have been that way when he started, but there's something that no HR manager can tell, and that's what's inside someone's head. You know, we all have stories about favorite teachers and so forth, and yet you hear of teachers that abuse kids. You have parents that abuse kids. You have, you know, ministers that have taken advantage of people in their congregation. Stuff that 99% of those people in that profession would never do, and yet there's somebody that does. And this one happens to be something that's, you know, way past stealing money or anything like that. You took someone's life. And it was also on video that the whole world can see. There's no good explanation for that.
Well, one of the things I'm most thankful for our community is the relationship that our police has with our community.
Right.
It's something that we don't talk about a lot, but it's one of our most important assets. A community needs, people need to feel safe in order to live in a community. And That's one thing that we enjoy, the excellent relationships that our officers have with people. We see them out and about serving in the community and doing training in our community. And they just do an excellent job. And Chief, you know, if we could just all say thank you to you and that you have our full support here in Orrville. And we just can't thank you enough for everything that your department does for all of us.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, and I just want to echo that back to you that it's been an honor. As you know, I'm a lifelong resident here, and it's been an honor and a dream just to serve here. I remember in the days leading up to getting this job, I thought all my problems would be solved if I just became an Orrville police officer, and I largely have been. I'm very proud of this, and it's been quite an honor to serve in my hometown.
Yeah, probably not very many people get to do that. So that's neat. Well, thanks very much for sharing tonight. That was a good conversation. I appreciate you taking time to share with us. And Mr. Wheeler, thank you for allowing the Chief to speak tonight. Do you have anything else to add for your report?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will move on then, and we'll move on to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brenniger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to take a position of no comment tonight. Things are quiet in the utility front. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a remarkable thing, given all the challenges that the utility department faces. So I was over in Smithville today, and the power was out. We don't experience that very often here in Orrville, and so thanks to all of you. So, Mr. Larson, did you have something?
I would just like to make a comment. This morning, we had an outage in front of my house. Squirrel got in the transformer, and we were not home. But when I got home, I saw that the whole incident took 34 minutes. You guys responded in 34 minutes and had the power back on here. And I would say that that's probably as good as anybody could get anywhere, so thank you. And the squirrel isn't around to thank you, but great job.
Another squirrel promoted to glory. So.
Yeah.
No, I'll never forget. I'll tell the story again, but in my office, we had another squirrel situation, and we thought, oh, we're going to get some time off this afternoon. And just a couple minutes later, here come the Orrville utility trucks, and unfortunately, we were back up and going in no time flat, so no break for us. But thank you. And once again, we're blessed to have a wonderfully a municipally owned utility that provides that a level of service. It's incredible. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on now to our finance director, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
All right, thank you very much. And then we'll move on to our law director, Cheryl Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually do have some things to talk about tonight. I wanted to give council an update on some litigation that we've been involved in. I'm not sure whether I've shared with this particular council a lawsuit that we joined with approximately 160 other municipalities. It was been a couple years ago regarding House Bill 49 and House Bill 5 relating to the collection and administration of local income tax. So the status of that case is that the municipalities lost at the appellate level, and that it was sent to the Ohio Supreme Court. There were oral arguments on May 20th. I did listen to those oral arguments. I think the mayor may have done that as well. There were some technical difficulties, so I wasn't able to listen to the entire thing. It kind of faded away, but basically, the crux of the case, for those who aren't aware or not familiar with what we've done, is that there is some legislation that has taken away or proposes to take away the collection of municipal income tax, or allows businesses to opt out so that they can consolidate their, for example, if they have multiple locations, they can consolidate and file a single tax return with the state that will handle the collections. They charge a 0.5% fee, and they will manage the collections of those monies and remit those back to the cities. the challenge or the problem with that is that not only that we lose control over our own municipal income tax collections, and we believe that it's an encroachment on home rule, as there have been other encroachments on that, including House Bill 5 relating to the creation of a more uniform tax code, but also that there are some provisions in House Bill 49 that are problematic in particular. For example, there are certain certifications that have to be made by the municipalities to the tax commissioner. If those are not made timely, there's a 50% penalty of the tax, even when the municipality doesn't have that information because they haven't gotten it from the company that they need to get the information communicated from. So there are some aspects and some features of that law that are particularly burdensome, even onerous, on the communities. So we had, as I said, the Ohio Supreme Court now has that case to decide to determine, number one, whether it is, in fact, an encroachment on home rule, whether it's constitutional, whether it's permissible use of state taxing authority, and whether the provisions themselves are permissible under our Constitution. So stay tuned. There's more information to come. As I said, we had oral arguments about 10 days ago. We have not received a ruling yet, but this has been pending for a couple of years at least. And Orville is a part of that. We just joined with several other municipalities kind of in a show of support or solidarity with those municipalities. Worcester is involved, as are many other municipalities. So they were consolidated and heard in Franklin County initially. And that's all I have here.
Very good. I know for a number of members of council, this is the first time you've kind of been briefed on this issue. Do you have any questions for Mrs. Kirkbride? Yes, Mr. Mosley. Oh, you're muted. Do I need to unmute you? I think you're muted yourself. I can't unmute you, Mr. Mosley.
There you go.
There we go. All right.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mrs. Kirkbride, is there anything that benefits the state, you know, for anything else in the House but that benefits the state from making these changes? I mean, what comes to my head is, you know, who woke up one day and just said, hey, let's mess with the local municipalities with this House bill. What else is in there to benefit the state, you know, in this?
1% from all of us is one thing.
There's the fee that they charge. It's 0.5%. There is the penalty, the 50% penalty if the information isn't provided in a timely manner that they're requesting certification. Also, I think it's a control issue. I think it's the way that they have. And Ms. Strickland can chime in if I'm misstating this or missing something, but the way that this has been advertised, I guess, for lack of a better word, is that it gives more uniformity to the collection and the administration of local income tax. Many of the CPA organizations, for example, want something like that. Tax preparers wanted something like that so that they didn't have to deal with multiple municipalities. There's a view that it makes Ohio more competitive from a business standpoint by doing that. We don't agree with those thoughts, but that is kind of the thought process that I think that the local municipality, or that the state has, rather.
So would we be almost forced to, you know, to recover that 0.5% that we would have to pay to the state? We'll be forced to recover that, and do we have consequences on our side of things, you know, to cover that or cover these fees, or what? I mean, I guess worst case scenario, if this passes,
well,
how does this affect us?
At this point, the way that it's proposed is that the business can opt in, so they don't have to, but many of them will, particularly if they have multiple locations. How we would recoup or recover those lost revenues, I guess. You know, that would take an act of the voters to increase our local income tax. I'm certainly not proposing that, but There's not a way for us to recover that fee by charging an additional fee to that to those particular taxpayers, no.
Okay. So just pretty much just give some money to the state. Got it.
So maybe we should have you write a brief in support.
All right, very good. I see no other questions. So, all right, we'll move on to my report. All I have is just a quick update to what we reported on our last meeting regarding our unemployment situation. I believe last time the unemployment rate here in Wayne County was 4.4%, something like that. And in 1 month, it jumped to over 11%, which is probably the largest one-month increase in history. When we were at that 4% rate, we were tied for fourth for the lowest unemployment rate in Ohio. And even at 11%, we are still tied for the fourth lowest unemployment rate in Ohio. And it's largely attributed to our diverse set of industries that we have here. And so that is an important part of our economy, and that's why we continue to pour our dollars into investing in our infrastructure and in our industrial parks, while our low income tax rates and our local services that we provide, just like we were talking about with income tax collection and lots of other local services that we provide here that are a benefit to our businesses. That's what makes our economy strong here. So anyway, I just wanted to report on that development. And thankfully, we are hearing of businesses reopening and people being called back to work. So I heard another story yesterday of someone who had been laid off, or furloughed, I should say, and they are now returning back to work. I think today was their first day. A couple of people returned back today to their former job. So good news there, reason for hope and optimism, but certainly a lot of work to do and a long way to go. So. Very good. We have no old business for this evening, and so we'll move on to new business, and we'll turn to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 1920, I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Mr. Mosley, thank you.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Carroza.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1920, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the Ohio Purchasing Cooperative Department of Administrative Services to purchase 2019, 2020, or 2021 Ford Police Interceptor Utility D6 all-wheel drive vehicle, or alternatively, to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code 125.04, or alternatively, to advertise for bids and enter into an agreement and or agreement for said purchase and declaring an emergency.
Very good. We'll turn to Mr. Wheeler for an explanation here.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is our annual purchase of a police vehicle as part of our replacement plan. As you can see by the language in the resolution, there's a lot of unknowns, so we did kind of account for that through the various years of availability. The plant that produces the Ford Interceptors just recently went back to work. So our estimate at this point is most likely we will not see the new vehicle until 2021. So we'd love to get in the production line to get that moving forward. This is in the budget, should be within the budgeted amount as well. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Carroza.
Yes, Director Wheeler, we're not trading in a vehicle this year, is that correct?
I think, and Chief Burks, I can definitely cut in if I'm saying something incorrect, but Our plan is to keep the vehicles, knowing that the arrival time won't be until 2021. So with the uncertainty of the budget and kind of the uncertainty with the delivery time, we thought it was prudent to retain the vehicles just in case we need one to last a little longer than usual. So.
Yeah, I know historically it takes quite a while to get a new vehicle delivered, and this will probably be even a longer delay, unfortunately. But thank you.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Any additional questions? All right, we do have a request from Mr. Wheeler. If we could go ahead and pass this tonight, that would allow us to get it in the works. So we'll turn to Mr. Worsen.
Being that it's very important to get in the queue for this item that has been budgeted and considered over a great deal of time by us, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Carrozza.
Mosley.
Yes.
Carrozza.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 1920 be adopted as read.
Second,
Mr. Wilson.
Carrozza.
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Very good.
Resolution 2020. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second,
Mr. Handwerk.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carrozza?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 2020. A resolution authorizing the sale of retired K-9 officer Freddie to his handler for the sum of $1 and declaring an emergency.
All right, we'll turn to Mr. Wheeler again.
Thank you, Mr. President. This was part of our discussion when discussing a new K-9 officer to replace Freddie. Freddie has been with our department since 2012, which is 8 years. A normal career for a K-9 is 5 to 7 years, so he has exceeded our expectations, not only in duration, but also in terms of the quality of service he provided for us. Normal procedure in this case, obviously, is that K-9 does not just go to anyone. He's been trained by Officer Smith for 8 years now, and Officer Smith also considers him, I'm sure, his dog as well. So a normal procedure is to sell the K-9 to Officer Smith at a price of $1 so that Freddie can enjoy his retirement. If I could expand as well on that, the new K-9, his name is Hulk, appropriately, will be ready in the next couple weeks. He's kind of going through some final training, so we should be able to do a smooth transition into the new K-9. He also is a German Shepherd. And we will definitely get him in front of council to meet everyone once we are able to meet face-to-face again.
Am I mistaken, or was Freddie a Belgian Malinois?
Freddie was a German Shepherd as well.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Any questions?
I have a comment.
Yes, Mr. Carrozza.
I'd like to express to Director Wheeler and Chief Birkbeck that you could relay to Officer Mike Smith. We appreciate his efforts and his duties as a K-9 handler, and his teammate, K-9 Freddie, they did a great job the past 8 years, and we know Freddie's going to go to a good home. So you can just share those thoughts with
Officer Smith, that'd be great.
I'll be sure to do that, and I do want to mention that even though the new canine has a name that some people might find intimidating, I want to reassure you that when I met him Friday, he ran over to me and leaped up on my shoulders and licked me in the face, so he has a very friendly demeanor.
Very good. Mr. Warworth.
Well, I know that there wasn't any public comment on the schedule tonight, but I don't know if you could hear in the background that my own dog was actually barking. He was moving that we move Freddie along to retirement as quickly as possible, so having that in mind, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate dates be suspended.
Second, Mr. Carosa.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
And Whitmer?
Yes.
I move resolution 2020 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Handwerk.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 2120. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Carosa.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Carosa?
Yes.
Whitmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 2120. A resolution authorizing the receipt of property from Orville City Schools and declaring an emergency.
Very good, and I'll just preface our discussion by saying, again, that declaring an emergency only means we are foregoing the 30-day waiting period normally associated with passing a resolution, so it'd go into effect right away. Very good. Who would like to speak to this? Mr. Wheeler?
This resolution is part of the Gateway Project. As part of those discussions, Orville City Schools agreed to donate a portion of property they own along Ella, as well as on the back side of the driveway going in. That property will be used for the pickleball court, as well as for a new parking lot, which has been completed for in a temporary stage, at least at this point, so it is available for parking. So this allows us to obviously utilize their property that will now be our property, and Orville City School Board has already approved this this legislation as well.
Well, we thank the Orville City School Board for allowing this property to be used by the community. It wasn't being utilized that much before, and now it'll have a lot more use, so we thank them. Any other discussion or questions? Very good. Mr. Lorson.
If there's no objection to this, given that we have discussed this at length in both committee meetings, and in council meetings in the past as well, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Lorson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Carosa.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 2120 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hancock.
Mosley.
Yes.
Carosa.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you very much. That concludes our new business for this evening. Do we have any comments for the good of the order?
I do have a question, Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Wilson.
Wondering if, since the office hours of downtown is back to regular hours, are there any discussions, plans for us getting back into the same room for these?
Very good question. My view is if we all have to wear face masks due to the fact that we can't be socially distanced, my preference would be to continue to meet in this format. But of course, we can have a discussion about that and hear everyone's views. But that's my view. Does anyone else have any thoughts at this time on that?
If the social distance is the only thing we have to do to keep from wearing a mask, that room is big enough, as we did that one time, to pretty well spread out. It would be very difficult to have a meeting if we're all masked up, I think. But I think we could spread out enough if we wanted to go back to doing that.
Mr. President, I agree with you. I think as long as we have to socially distance, it makes sense to continue via Zoom.
Any other thoughts this time? A couple people are grinning.
Well, thank you. I don't have any particular thought either way. Just curious if there was discussion.
I do believe, if I may, that Dr. Acton enacted an extension of the mass gathering ban of 10 people or over to July 1st. So that is in place for 10 or over, and I realize that kind of contradicts itself with some of the other things with the weighing gatherings and those kind of things.
Very good. So I would say let's plan on doing this through June, and we'll evaluate then at the end of the month. How's that?
Sounds good.
Yep. All right. Very good. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that.
Very good. Mr. Wilson moves, and Mr. Larson seconds. I need a verbal, Mr. Larson.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Carosa.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Orville City Council then will have our next regular meeting on June 15th, 2020. Thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.